It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 689. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. The show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. And you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. I have lots to talk about. Didn't record the last two Thursdays. This is Saturday afternoon that I'm recording this. 2 weeks ago, I had client work that I'm going to talk about that, and they were iMac work. Then last Thursday, just a couple days ago, I was not feeling up to doing the show, and I knew I would be feeling a lot better, needed to give myself another day, and I knew I could record on Saturday. Matter of fact, my wife is out with my grandchildren doing an Easter egg hunt. I knew I'd be home pretty much alone today. I have Windows 10 articles that I'm going to talk about, the update that's coming that you're going to want to absolutely apply because of one feature. Later in the show, I have an email. I have a lot of you have emailed me about, but Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows 8.1 locking up. We're going to talk about that, how to resolve it. I have a kind of GoDaddy DNS story I want to get to. 25 hotel hacks. I'm not going to review every one, but there are some great little tips I want to share. And then I have a stack of email. So lots to get to. So first, the two Thursdays ago, I had two iMacs that I had to update, but I knew one of them was going to give me trouble because I finally got the go to update it to the latest Mac OS Mojave. It's codenamed, and we're going from 10.9 to 10.14. I also had to install the latest, greatest Adobe Lightroom on both these iMacs. Now, one of them is newer, the other one is older. And then I also Office 365 because they had the old Mac Office 2011. So I had a ton of updates, and we weren't even beginning until 5 o'clock because that's when I would have access. So knowing that on Thursday, I had to pull the plug on doing a show that night. And then I knew my weekend was already booked, so there was no way to reschedule a show. Last Thursday, wasn't feeling good, and I could have knocked out a show, but I just wasn't 100%. And I knew if I waited till today to Saturday, I knew I'd be able to do better. And I was absolutely correct that that was the right decision. The iMacs, it took forever to the update. Every 10 minutes, the update would find, when I was applying Mojave, it would record, there was one less minute. So it would go from 41 to 40. And it was just taking forever. I completely finished the newer iMac because that was a solid state drive. The one that I have, this older one, was a 3 terabyte mechanical drive. And the problem with that is I didn't want to go through taking that somewhere to have a solid state drive put in because there's over 2 terabytes for their iPhoto database. This is a photographer. So we're migrating to Adobe Lightroom, and the photographer's assistant before the update had to take and pull out of iPhoto and copy. We put an external 8 terabyte drive where they were moving everything into a directory structure that we could then import into Adobe Lightroom. Complicated process, all is well now, but after a couple hours, I finished the first iMac. This other iMac was, like I said, it was still at 40%. And I would have been there all night. I pulled the trigger like after 7 o'clock and told the owner, hey, can you wait until the next afternoon that I can come out and finish it off? And that's exactly what I was able to do. I was able to get out there. I was able to finish everything on Friday because it was just taking too long. And rather than me sit there and bill them for watching a screen for hours, as long as they didn't need access in the morning because I had some work, so it was the afternoon I was able to come out. I finished it up. Everything's good. Everything's running great. So that was nice. Now, one other story I want to get to. Yesterday, the owner of a company emailed, or actually copied me on an email and copied the web developer, a new website that's going to be launched for the client next week. The web developer was asking for full control of where the domain name was purchased from, which was GoDaddy. I don't want to give up those credentials because web developers will change the name servers. They don't do it correctly. And I've seen this just mess up so much. So many DNSs messed up that I am a roadblock. Even though the domain is not registered in my name, the owner, it's in his name. He has control of it. I will never do that as an IT support person. I will never take ownership of the domain name. The owner of the company always has the account and they can always reset the passwords. Now, I know the login and password, but I will not be in control. But I don't want to give that to anybody else because they can mess things up. So I emailed the web developer and said, just tell me the IP address of the new website and when do you want to go live and I will make that happen. And she replied back, I'll send you that Monday morning because that's when we want to go live. And I said, perfect. I think that's the best way to handle it. Don't give the credentials to logging in for the control of the DNS to people you don't know. You don't want to do that. I mean, I know you could always reset the passwords back, but if they mess things up, it's ugly. So websites, all you got to do is change the A record to the right IP address and you're good. Now, if the hosting is tied to that access, like maybe they purchased GoDaddy hosting, that's a different story. And even then, I'd rather give them FTP access than full control. And so I could create an account for them to be able to just FTP to the website. And they still don't have access to change the DNS. So there's even ways around that when even the hosting is tied to the domain name. But give that a lot of thought before you hand over those credentials. Because you know from weeks ago, the horror stories that I was describing of someone intercepting and making the DNS changes to change email and changing the MX records to intercept email. And we went to two-factor authentication for those clients. I'm recommending now go two-factor authentication for all my any domains for the owners. And then if I'm going to work on it or whoever needs to work on it, you got to work with the owner to get that code to be able to log in. All right, let's get to some articles and some things I want to talk about today. Windows 10, Microsoft is abandoning the constant forced updates. That's correct. They have finally heard us and they are listening and they are putting back the control of when we want to do the updates. I love that. That is amazing. The first link in the show notes for this show will be two links talking about that, where you're going to want to apply this next big update. One of the things I do, and this happened this past week, where I have different departments on companies that they are retainer clients, that I pause the Windows 10 updates, and you get to pause them for 35 days. And then what I will do is I will manually go in, resume updates, and control when the updates are done after hours or on weekends. And this way, they're not going to interfere at all with the client and the user. Now, I don't do this on every Windows 10 system. It's not practical. But I do do it, like I said, my biggest client, the engineering department, because of their work. I have another company where I have a group of users that just cannot be bothered with these Windows 10 updates and all of the annoyances and everything that comes with it. And I know you can schedule and you, let me tell you, I have scheduled the time of when an update's going to apply, and I've seen it completely ignore that and interfere with the user and reboot the system. So I've seen that. I don't care the controls that Microsoft gives us. Sometimes it works, but I've seen it not work. And because of that, I pause the updates and then go back in under control, unpause them, and allow them to happen. I just had this on one system last night. It's a critical system. It's Windows 10 Pro, and it runs a piece of software that controls all of the automated jobs for their ERP system. And I can't have that thing downloading updates in the background or doing it. We have to have 100% of the CPU dedicated to this one application that is managing all of the automated jobs, creating reports, sending billing, it is a mission critical workstation in this organization. So last night, a feature update hit. So 18.09 came down when I was doing the update. I was 2 hours remotely just monitoring the install of a Windows 10 update on a very fast workstation with a very fast internet connection. And it still was 2 hours for that one workstation to get 18.09. That is completely ridiculous. So now, at least we're going to have control like we do Windows 7. Thank goodness we do have that, because wait, you hear later in the show when I talk about what's happening with these Windows 7 updates and Server 2008, major problems. So we need that control. And even Microsoft now is basically acknowledging, hey, we screw up all these fixes and we're going to give you a chance to wait and not have them automatically update outside of our control. I want to thank everybody who was emailing me for those links and updates. Mike Cooley, I got a lot of emails. Like I said, later I'm going to talk about one. There's another, improving the Windows 10 update experience with control, quality, and transparency. You're going to be able to download and install now option, or you can install, download, and manually pick when you're going to install. I really, really like that. And getting a little bit back to the way we were with Windows 7 updates. Before my next topic, I want to mention TechCon Unplugged. It's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 20th to the 22nd. It is very inexpensive. You just go to techconunplugged.com. There are still some tickets remaining. We have a great lineup of speakers and topics that you're going to want as a small IT business owner, whether you're just a repair shop with a couple people working for you, or if you're by yourself. You're going to learn things on how to market, expand your business, meet other like-minded people like myself who have small businesses supporting IT for small businesses, and you're going to be able to get tips, tricks, meeting vendors that you would never be able to get in front of to have and establish relationships with. This is a must attend. And again, September 20th to the 22nd, I'll be there. Lots of your favorite podcasters from the Podnuts Network will be there. It's going to be well worth it. It's only $199. The rooms are inexpensive. It's close to the airport. And I hope to see you there. And again, that's TechCon Unplugged. Now, this leads to John Drabinski from the Maven Group, who will also be there. He posted a link that I have to share. That is 25 hotel hacks to upgrade your next vacation to a five-star experience. Now, some of these are obvious. They're all common sense, but there are some gems in here. I'm going to go through them. Like instant humidity. I would have never thought about this. Wetting a towel and putting it on one of the suitcase stands and put that in front of the air conditioner heater, right in front of the radiator, and it'll help maintain a more human level of humidity to keep you from shriveling up like a raisin. Total blackout. I love this tweak, which is use one of the pants coat hangers to put the curtains together. You know how there's always a little piece that comes through where if you want total blackout, what a great little tip. Now, I'm going to skip to one that I'd never heard of. To minimize the noise, roll up an extra towel and put it at the crack of the door to help insulate some sound from out in the corridor. Here you go. Here's another one. Did you forget your charger? I've done that. And I went out and spent a fortune on getting a charger for my phone. No. Contact the front desk. You know, they're going to have chargers that people left in the rooms for maybe a long time ago. They'll lend you a charger for your phone. Never would have thought of that. What a great way. And then you just, you know, when you're all done, when you're heading out, you just drop it back off. Contact the front desk. I've done this one where they couldn't provide a refrigerator, but they have ice machines. Fill up the basin, fill up the sink in the bathroom, and you got ice to be able to put something to make it cold. These tips are awesome, and I want you to check out that link. And John, thank you for posting that, because I went through that and I sent it to all my family members, and I put that down in my notes saying, I am going to talk about that on a show. I love those little tips. And you know, when I went to Chicago a couple years ago to CompTIA, I bribed a maintenance guy for the code. When he came up to the room, I said, there's got to be a way to keep the air conditioning on when we leave the room. And he says, no, there's no. I said, there's got to be a way. And I held a $20 bill. That's how much it meant to me, because it was so hot. He said, here's the override code for the air conditioning. So it cost me $20, but it made me think that with the model of the thermostat, take a look at what the model is. You can Google the hack on what combination you can hit on that thermostat that can override the air conditioning settings. You will be able to maintain and have the air conditioner on even when you leave the room. I have used that hack several times after my visit to Chicago. And that, what a great little tip. So there are always great tips to figure out. I'll give you one when I was in Germany. This goes with one of the tips that's in this list, but a little different. So there's HDMI ports on the back of the TV in our hotel. My son Ryan and I, we just got back from the long weekend for the Hurricane Festival that we were attending. And we wanted to watch content with the English language because we do not speak German. Now, there was a couple international, CNN was in English, and there were a couple things, but very few. Now, I had my Chromebook with me. I had a cable that can connect to HDMI, and I had the Netflix extension for Chrome. And I had my Netflix account. But I was plugging into the HDMI ports, and there was no way to change the source on the handheld remote for the TV. So I called the front desk and they said, no, we disabled that. Well, this is a Courtyard Marriott in Germany, And what did I do? We Googled how to hack that. And it was a combination on the remote control that enabled the HDMI ports. So Google is your friend when you're traveling and you're looking. There's a hack for everything. And if you want to get something activated, change something, do something, look it up. And this was tremendous. We opened up the HDMI. We had tremendous Wi-Fi in the hotel. And bang, we were watching Netflix. The rest of the week, anytime we were in the hotel, would pop something on Netflix and be able to watch it. That was very cool. And there is a tip to do that. But I'm going further because one of the tips, they don't say, hey, they might have locked out those HDMI ports. Don't worry. If they're on the TV, there's a way to get to it. Let's get to email. This is from Kate. Windows updates are breaking PCs with these antivirus programs. This is important. I wish I had gotten this in your hands a few weeks ago because I have been tracking this since the day it started locking up systems. And I have been diligently unchecking these updates on the following operating systems: Windows 7, Windows 8.1, Server 2008 R2 and Server 2012, and Server 2012 R2. Interesting, it doesn't impact Windows 10, but I still have a bunch of clients with Windows 7. And I certainly have 2008 R2. It affects PCs running Sophos, Avira, Acrobat, Avast, and McAfee antivirus programs, and it locks up the systems. But I also read that it was locking up systems that didn't have these antiviruses. Now, there's no consistency with that, but I'm not taking a chance. Once we know there are updates that are impacting performance, we should have the opportunity to go in and I uncheck it and then I hide the update and then I apply updates. Now, this weekend, last night, as a matter of fact, I had server updates that I was doing and I unchecked that monthly roll up of security updates because that is breaking the systems. And there was no way I was going to allow one of these servers for my clients to have a lockup problem or a performance issue. It really started with gamers complaining of these lockups and problems. And then it started morphing into, it got more serious. And at first it was only Sophos. Well, now look at the laundry list of antiviruses. Now, if you just use Windows Defender or Windows Defender and Malwarebytes, you're not impacted. But again, Windows 7 mission critical systems or any server that's under my care as they are retainer clients, I will not apply those updates. And that's why it's important to be able to hold the updates until you decide when you want to apply them. This is exactly why. I want those updates to be in the wild for a week, so I can evaluate what is happening on everybody who's experiencing those and having problems. Now, I don't have any Windows Server 2008 systems here. And as a matter of fact, I'm thinking, I know it's only going to be for a few months, I'm ready to deploy a Windows 7 machine only because all my systems here in my house are Windows 10. So certainly I'll see something on my test system for Windows 10, but I'm not going to see that with Windows 7. I got to rely on the internet and reporting and sites like howtogeek.com and some of the other great sites like ARS, Technica, and PC World. Kate, thank you for letting me know and sending me these links. I've been tracking this for a few weeks now, and it's one of the reasons why we need those updates, and we need full control of all updates, regardless of what the update's for. We should be in control of the update no matter what the software is, and especially the operating system. This is from Rick, and the title, the subject is A Windows 7 Stronghold. Hi, Mike. I have been a long longtime fan of Tech Vets and have started watching and listening to the show a few months ago. I love what you are doing, so keep up the great work, man. So the real question, I have found a Windows 7 holdout. It is a community of five systems that I need to upgrade those systems because I don't want them to have Windows 7 as a security risk. Now, here is the problem. They don't want to spend money on Windows 10, but since they have a legit Windows 7 key, it should be possible to upgrade for free, right? Yes, if it's a really legit Windows 7 key. I have not found a good guide as a how to upgrade Windows 7 to 10 in 2019. So I'm asking you, maybe you know a guide, or is it still working in 2019? I don't know of a guide out there. If anybody does, let me know. But I'm going to tell you my personal experience, and it's very easy. You must have a full backup of everything on the system. Now, since money seems to be an issue, you're not going to be able to just pop their drive out and put a new hard drive in. That's my ultimate way of approaching this. So I'm going to give you a couple options here. The one I like, especially if they don't have an SSD right now, take that drive out, put an SSD in, and do a Windows 10 clean install. You get the latest, greatest media creation tool from Windows, from Microsoft. You build a USB media. Now you have to know, is that Windows 7 key, is it home or premium? Or is it Windows 7 Ultimate, which again is Windows Pro for in the 10 world? So you put it in, you boot up, it's going to ask you what operating system it is. You're going to pick, is it Windows 10 Home or Windows 10 Pro? You go forward, it's going to ask you for a license key. You click skip. You do not enter the key at that moment. Now you go on, you finish. Once you connect to the internet, go and see if it automatically activated. I have had systems automatically activate. The only reason I could think of is that at one point in time early on when they were forcing in-place upgrades, the system might have been updated and it registered a legitimate Windows 10 key on the Microsoft servers, but we backed it out and put it back to Windows 7. And then now that we're doing it legitimately on a clean install, it automatically activated. That was the only explanation that I could come up with for that automatic Windows 7 activation. Now, if originally these systems were Windows 8 or 8.1, they will automatically activation for free, but you're doing a clean install. If you have a key that was just written down, handwritten or something, it's supposed to be legitimate, well, it's a crapshoot. It may or may not activate. But if this is a Windows 7 legitimate COA sticker on the side of the computer, and that's the key you are using, it will activate for free. And that is still happening. So you can do the Windows 10 for free. But now, what if you can't put a new hard drive in? Well, you're going to have to wipe and clean and clear the hard drive and blow away the partitions during the Windows 10 install. So you better have all the data backed up. You get an external drive, get Fabs Auto Backup Pro 7 or manually copy it. Let me tell you, I highly recommend Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro for this very reason of transferring all the data. And then you'll have a list of the programs. You're going to need any licensing. Are there software applications that you have to deactivate? So you want to capture the license number and then deactivate it. So this way you can use that same license. A great example, Shadow Protect. You want to go in, do a snippet of the registration and the serial number, then deactivate it. Now you're in a position to reinstall Shadow Protect on your new install and activate it with that license key. So you got to do the due diligence of all of these items before you proceed. So it's a lot of work, but I want you to do a fresh, clean Windows 10 install. If you have a legitimate sticker on the side of the computer, it will activate. That's your process. So I don't think you're going to see that written down anywhere, but That's what I use. It works. I know Carrie Holzman also does the same thing, and it works for him. We talked about that, I think, on the last Tech Vets that we did, or maybe the one before. So, Rick, thank you for your question. Another question here, and it's someone wanting to know plenum, when I use plenum rated cable. I go by this link that I'm going to have in the show notes. Rated cable comparison, plenum versus riser. So when do you use one versus when you use the other? But what I like is there's great pictures here, and it's what is plenum? And a building, a plenum is a separate space used for air conditioning, circulation for heating, ventilation. The space is often between the structural ceiling and a drop-down ceiling. And that's when you would use plenum cable going through that. But riser cable is when you're going from floor to floor, maybe in connecting wiring closets. And that is when you would use riser cable. So it's not which one I want to use. It's what's the situation. This is a great article with pictures and describing everything you want to know about plenum versus riser, and when you should be using them. Thank you very much. Great question. I think a lot of people will like that. Email from Kate. And this was about the Epson printer problem. And I forwarded this email. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I did forward the listener who initially emailed me. And it's from show 688. I was listening to the show 688 in the car. So I don't remember the model number of the Epson printer from hell one of your listeners is trying to wrestle to the ground. However, I've had this problem with at least 5 different Epsons, including one of my own. Some random update would randomly break something, and the printer would lose its mind, and then complain bitterly when I tried to reinstall it. There has always been a solution, but not an obvious one. And the solution is the uninstaller tool from Epson. Uninstalling a printer the normal way and even messing around with leftover folders and tweaking the registry just does not get everything. It just doesn't. And even the pro version of Revo uninstaller doesn't get everything. Your guy needs to go to the Epson site and search around the support area for the uninstall tool he needs. Different ones, because some devices are just printers and some are multifunction. At one point, a couple years ago, I had to reach out to a human being support person for the link to the uninstaller tool. This is why I finally stopped recommending Epson printers to my customers, because before I retired, many of them are not going to be capable of doing this, and they'll just go out and buy another printer, probably another Epson. Anyway, I hope this helps and should work, especially if your listener takes your advice and completely clears the print queue before running this tool. My guess is, although he's uninstalled the printer, it's still going to show up in the printer server properties. Epson and HP both, at least at the customer level, are horrible about this. Kate, great email and great recommendation. If you are stuck in that frustrating problem of unable to install the printer driver. Final email from Mike. Not sure if you're still taking submissions for Evernote replacements. You know, I am. And even though Evernote seems to be going along hummingly, I was nervous because of an article I read and hit the panic button to look for an alternative, because I think we should be prepared. So I don't mind still, even though I'm still on Evernote, I don't mind tips for alternate, you know, recommendations. So he continues, I just recently started evaluating Nimbus Note, which has a very similar look and feel to Evernote. So far, so good. From what I have seen, it includes the clipper just like Evernote, and had as well and support for the Mac and iPhone as well. So this might hit on all your needs and it's nimbusweb.me. Mike, thank you very much, and that will be in the show notes. That is it for today's show. I want to thank everybody for listening and staying subscribed. Remember, the best way to support the show is to use our Amazon link. The link is in part of the show notes of every show. It supports Carrie Holzman and myself, Tech Vets, and the Mike Tech Show. Click on that link before you add anything to your shopping cart, or it won't work. So click on the link, do your shopping, and we will get a commission. Your price stays the same. We get a commission on every item you purchase. You purchase a dollar item, even though it's pennies, they add up and they make a big difference to Carrie and I in helping support the show. And we greatly appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts for you using that link. Thank you so much. Also, Fabs Auto Backup for Tech 7 Pro, Tech Site Builder. Haven't talked about them. That is, if you go to mhsconsulting.net, my main website for my business, that was all built with Tech Site Builder. And I'll have a link to them in the show notes. And Matt Rodella does a tremendous job of supporting and maintaining and keep and making sure you have a very good SEO website that will work. And if you have even thinking of a tech website, you definitely want to look into that. Instant House Call, go to instanthousecall.com and try it out for all your remote access. That's it. See everybody hopefully next Thursday, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.